Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. This show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show.
Today's guest is Saba Miraz, Head of BI at Clear Channel Outdoor Global. Things that I'm very much interested about, but when I consider myself to be like very much interested in data and data-driven sort of as a person in general, I would certainly hope probably not to the extent that you are, but nonetheless, I do try to kind of take the data and let that kind of lead my decision making. But before that, I think that when you get involved in technology and then whatever that might be, you get to a point in your career where, you know, you have to become some kind of a leader. You have to be involved in people. So it kind of leads me to the question about, you know, what for you, did the people come first or did the technology come first? And if you could, what would be your preference as far as kind of the skill set that you had when you were, you know, first starting out in your career?
That's a very good question. Definitely, I would say it's the people side, because before you even think about the technology or even what sort of data you're after, there is a need that starts somewhere. Somebody needs something to make a decision or maybe action on something critical or even have an idea of what's going on. So it really starts either by a business sponsor or even a data analyst or somebody who just loves data. And even when I started at the beginning of it, when I was back in the US, and I really started in data without knowing I was starting in data. My role was an analyst, and I was trying to get the most out of what we had in place. And it really started with me starting to dig into what we had, and I just found myself so passionate about the stories you can tell out of what you have in front of you, either commercially speaking, financially speaking, from, again, a human resources perspective. And it allows you to pull people together and get a conversation going. So that's what I found was really interesting, and that's how I got into this path of data, storytelling, reading between the lines, coming up with qualitative assessments of what's going on, what's happening, and things like that.
Yeah, it almost seems like that would, for pretty obvious reasons, I think, be the preferable way to get into kind of BI or any kind of data, because you have to understand what the goal is and what you're actually trying to work out. Instead of just being able to kind of do it. And I think that's true for a lot of things, but probably, especially in data, even though you are tend to be numbers driven, you have to understand what the goal is and be able to kind of, I suppose, read between the lines on occasion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. You want to know where you're trying to get to, but then sometimes, going back to your question about technology versus people, sometimes you might not have a specific goal in mind, but you realize that you can get something out of that, because maybe sometimes you'll extract a goal out of that data you're going to start digging into. And that's what happened to me when I started in the data space, more like when I was doing reporting and analysis. We didn't have a goal in mind necessarily, but we're like, look at all these things we have in hand. Can we dig into this stuff, you know, and see what we can make out of it? And that's where as we looked into it, I remember with my boss, we were like data geeks, really. We were just like realize, oh, we have this situation that we can do with it, and we can do this, and then how about if we were to create a project so that we can start, and at that time we were trying to reduce costs. So what about if we were to use this data, and then we can drive the cost down more effectively so we can get better profitability?
Do you think that it's sort of the data and the ability to use and be kind of efficient at using different technologies that allows you to kind of scrape data and pull the relevant data is kind of the tools of the job, if you like. But then the actual interest in the job is very much like you say, from the understanding the end goal or like on the people's perspective, that's kind of where the interests lie, and everything else is just having the tools to be able to get the job done. Not too dissimilar to, I suppose, you know, I fit in a door, for example, right? The goal is to have the door, right? But, you know, you have to have all the relevant equipment to actually get to where you actually now have a door. And would it be kind of not too dissimilar in kind of the BI and data space? It's that, you know, it's almost more important that you understand what you're trying to achieve as opposed to someone who has kind of the technical capabilities to get the job done, or is it kind of a mixture of, I suppose, the both?
If I understood you correctly, you definitely, before you start using the right tools, you need to have a goal in mind, because depending on that goal you want to reach, then different tools can do different things for you. So you definitely want to have that clear so you can get that door, basically, and then the technology comes in as part of that journey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think, and you know, as someone who's not, you know, by any means an expert in technology, sometimes it's quite overwhelming to kind of decide what technologies to learn. Again, for you, you said it was kind of the people first. When you started solving problems, did you just kind of learn what was necessary on the technology side in order to get the job done? And is that how you kind of went about learning them? Or was it sort of the things where you had an interest in various technologies and you just thought, right, I'll seek out to learn those technologies in order to get the job done? Or did it just kind of move with the momentum of what the task at hand was?
Interesting. So in terms of how I evolved into the space, so I started more like an analyst, a data analyst. And then as it evolved, I started using at that time the technologies I had in hand, which is really Excel, which is the number one, as in BI solution you have out there before you really start digging into the magic, right? And as I evolved into that role and evolved into digging more and more into the data, then I started using more of the Microsoft solutions in terms of SQL, data warehousing, and everything else, but obviously working with the IT teams at that stage. And then as I evolved into that role of being a senior analyst and then a project manager, and then because I had that experience with the data sets and how I could connect the stories between the data sets, then I was brought into our London office, basically, to bring the BI space together, to bring the developers together, so we can start telling those stories. And that's how technology came into my fold, little by little. So I was really, I had to learn on my own within my team and with my team to what I could do with the technology. And that's how I realized how much magic you can get done with all the data you have in hand.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating as well. Is it, what kind of technologies, what was it that you had to learn? Was it sort of a lot of automation stuff? What kind of technologies was it?
So me personally, what I had to learn is what you could do with the technologies, not in terms of from a hands-on perspective. I had to realize the resources I had in hand to make the logic work and turn the data into information. So I had to learn the beauties of SQL. What can you do with SQL, how much data you could crunch, how much automation you can make, and also use the right roles in the right places. So, for instance, your SQL developer versus your SSAS developer versus your data visualization developer, and then you can bring those three streams together to make that end goal happen. So that's what I had to learn, to realize that if you use SQL this way and then you do it in a certain way, then you can provide that action or those KPIs to your executives.
Right. Okay. I understand. And it's actually really good practice that as well. I do talk with a lot of, I suppose you would call them techies. And I think they appreciate being called techies. I think so.
They do actually.
I'll have to check that one. But hopefully I'm not
and
offending anyone.
I should say that we do as well. I'm part of it.
Yeah. I just need to, you know, political correctness and all that. But yeah, I think that they can tend to get caught up in the actual kind of technology side, but it's interesting that you kind of you approach it from like use the resources available, learn what's necessary to kind of get the job done, and kind of no more than that, I suppose. And I think now with so much technology and the rate of change that technology has, it's very easy to get caught up in the latest and greatest trends, etc., instead of just kind of identifying, right, what is going to be able to kind of do this in the most efficient way? End of kind of, you know, end of conversation. I think it is difficult to get caught up in that trappings. Is that something that you've made a conscious decision to try and avoid, or is that just something that I think it just always made sense for you to just, right, what is going to get the job done here?
Yeah, so I think it was very important for me to ensure we were using what we already had in hand, that I didn't want us to be reinventing the wheel. When I came into the team, for instance, I knew that we had the right skill sets, the right people, and there was no need to go to the latest and greatest sexy technology in order to achieve a specific goal. Especially that the goal at the end of the day that we had from an organizational perspective was that data was already provided. Data was already delivered to certain roles within the organization. So the way I look at it is you have a pyramid, you have the operational layer, basically people who really do the work and everything else. Then you have a middle layer from the middle management perspective, and then you have the executives who make the decisions. So what we were really missing at that stage was to get that information to that decision maker and tap into that potential, make their job easier, as well as the people who provide them with the information. So based on that statement, basically, I knew we had everything in hand internally, and we had to use what we had before asking for too much budget and ask for too much money with little return, right? And that's how I approached it. And I'm glad we did it that way, because we were able to deliver great benefits to the organization. And also, by doing so, you build that credibility within your organization to say, we were able to do X, Y, Z. We've built the trust. We've built the collaboration. We've made people's jobs easier. Now we are ready to look at the latest and greatest. Please, can you help us? Can you support us? Because this will drive revenue or reduce costs or introduce more efficiencies.
Right. So is it, I suppose this is more on along the lines of what you would consider, I suppose, a good recruit or someone, you know, who you would identify as like a strong individual in kind of the BI space. But when you look at behaviors and the way that people approach BI and data to obviously optimize, what kind of, I suppose, behaviors is it that you would identify as like that's ideal, that's the optimal way to approach problem solving in you know, data or BI? What kind of behaviors do you really look out for, I suppose, if you're looking to recruit, for example?
And you mean like from an IT perspective, obviously, from that side, right?
Analyst, but just, I suppose, the overriding kind of behaviors that you think are going to be most effective.
What's really important is to get the caring side of it, so the caring of a passion. That person does what they do because they love it. It's not just about a paycheck or just about a job. And the other behavior that you look for is the problem-solving stuff. They really like to dig into the problem and find a solution. It's providing the solution. One thing that I always, when I ask those scenario questions during interviews, I'm always making sure that I would pose a business question to say, this is what we are trying to achieve, but I would go into details. I won't just say, we are trying to generate revenue, what are you going to do about it? That's not a fair question. But it would be a very detailed question in terms of, if I were to provide this sort of KPI, how would you approach it? What sort of solution would you go back to the user or the business sponsor with? And the way they would construct that problem, first, to understand it, second, what sort of solution they come back with, is what I look for, you know? Because you need them to think problem, understood, solution, this is what I can provide, then this is how I can build it. And making sure that they connect the dots, they connect the logic, how are they going to get the certain measures, certain tables and everything else to make that information possible.
Interesting. I think that's really good advice. Really good advice. And I hope that there's a couple of people who hope to follow in your footsteps that listen to that. I think that's great advice. And I think that when, I suppose, if you consider your background and the habit forming things that, and the behaviours that you created for yourself to allow you to get into kind of the position that you're in today, was there any kind of one who inspired you or someone who you looked up to along the way and to, you know, in an effort to try and emulate?
Good, a very good one. So I think I was really inspired by my first boss when I worked in the US. And that's the person who I started my career with, really, when I was a coordinator and then I moved on to the analyst role, and who helped me, who basically promoted me to get transferred to our international business here with Clear Channel. So I look up to this person because it was all about the attitude, the behavior, the passion, the caring, and doing things right. But it's doing the right thing and making sure you're almost selfless when you are delivering something or leading something, particularly when you're leading a team or when you're leading a department. You need to make sure you're there to support them, to help them. You actually work for them. And when you do so, they provide so much magic for you. That's how I like to put it. And in BI, I found it so rewarding from that perspective, when you see that person who knows so much about the technical capabilities of building a warehouse or automating a certain data refresh or making sure that you have the right checks and balances. You give them that support, they give you so much more, you know. And that's the thing that I learned from my mentor, and I ensured I did cascade it into my teams and build the team to think that way. Because again, when you're working with your business sponsors, your decision makers, they can see that, the way you deliver things, the way you approach things, and then they can collaborate with you and give you a lot of insight.
Interesting. When I look at BI data space in particular, I think that it's so fascinating what's happening in that space in particular at the moment. I think the technologies and the innovation seems to all be kind of coming from that particular space. You know, I suppose when you look at it, is it an exciting prospect for you, kind of the innovations that are happening? And, you know, are you fully bullish about kind of what's going on in the innovation space, or are you still a little bit kind of bearish about the things that are happening in data? And I suppose, where are your feelings with, you know, there's such innovation coming out of your area? Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very realistic. You know, going back to, there is no need to reinvent the wheel sometimes or get the latest and greatest just for the sake of it. First, it's very, very important wherever you are when you are looking at data and everything else, before thinking of the latest innovation that sounds really good, at the end of the day, you need to make the most out of what you already have first. First, understand what you have. First, consume the data you have in-house before you start thinking, I would like to consume all the big data stuff. Because when you get to that space, one, it costs, you have to think about the cost side of things, you have to think about the change management, you have to think about your return on investment. And you better have a very high return on investment when you think of those latest technologies, because they are very expensive. They're really good when you have a very clear goal and vision and you know where you want to get to, because the people who know how to use those latest technologies are very rare, and it comes with a certain price. So that's why I say I'm a realistic. I like to make sure we get the most out of what we have, use the resources you have and everything else. And when you have maxed out or optimized that space, then it's great to use the latest and greatest. Maybe not the latest and greatest. It's nice to let it mature a little bit so that issues are worked out and bugs and so on and so forth. And then you take your time to train up your existing teams or your whatever organization you are in. Make sure that everyone is bought into it, to then say, I'm going to use this, and I'm going to use this latest visualization or this latest engine that's going to crunch a lot of volume, you know. And the other thing that's very important to keep in mind, it depends what industry you are in. Again, you know, if you're like in an online business, then you would need the latest and greatest, because you need that volume to be able to interrogate it.
Right, makes sense. Yeah, I think it's a very sensible approach. I think You know, there is a lot, AI, et cetera, kind of even the integration of blockchain technology, all these kind of things are very, very compelling. But as you said, I think it's just a process, taking it step by step and implementing when necessary. I think they're not getting caught up in the hype and panicking. Is probably, you know, a really sensible approach. But yeah, I suppose from just a personal perspective, and if you were to take the sensible head off for a second, what do you like get excited about and think, wow, that is, you know, that is really cool?
I really get excited about when you're able to provide today on time performance. So basically, from an internal perspective, going back to making sure you provide those decision makers with all the facts so that they are sure to know what to do, you know, either from a new strategy perspective, making sure they're actioning on the right risks or opportunities, especially when it's in, from a global perspective. For instance, today in our organization, we are able internationally to look at different countries' risks and issues and provide the right resources at the right time. And tomorrow, if we are able to use the latest technologies to give this in real time, you know, and being able to crunch large volumes of data, start consuming, for instance, our social media data, our marketing data, that would be really, really amazing.
I like that a lot. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time. I hope you enjoyed it. It wasn't too painful.
No, it was great. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website venturi-group.com and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.